This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Franklin.
Well,
and extra good morning.
Extra good morning. We got a special guest in studio.
Good morning, Terry Kennedy.
Good morning, Charlie. Morning, Frank.
Nice to have you with us.
Again. Terry is an orchid expert. We're talking all things orchid, I hope. And you never know. People will call with whatever's on their minds. But still, any questions that you've been, you know, holding back on, Terry knows everything you ever want to know about orchids, and except for this orchid tree that she, too, is having some issues with. So we might talk about that as well. But you're also here to talk a bit about the orchid, the upcoming Southern Ontario Orchid Society, the big show, the really big show.
Yeah, the big show, the Valentine's, annual Valentine's show, the flowers are getting ready to be displayed, and this year's theme is elegance, so the displays are going to be very elegant.
And how many flowers are you taking? Frank.
No, that's okay. Just wondering the dates.
Oh, February 8th and 9th.
Ah, there you go.
So that would be next Saturday and Sunday. And that's both days, all day, 11 to 5, at the Toronto Botanical Gardens.
Ah, okay.
Pretty good, eh? Got all the details there, Frank. Frank's a detail guy.
You did very well. Let me do my other little job here.
And I have
the only job that I have, Terry, is giving out the phone numbers, and sometimes I get way late. Okay. For those of you who want to get a call through to either Charlie or Terry.
Or Frank.
Or myself, sure. Here's the number for Toronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. Keep in mind our little mantra, if you will. Call early, call often, one question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, why, let Carlos and Duncan, our operators this morning, know. And I'll get to this little bell before you get to the airwaves.
There's
get your
the
garden wings.
Yeah, absolutely. First-time callers. And last week, I think we broke all records for first-time callers. It was great.
More first-time callers than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. Now, hey, happy February.
Groundhog
January
Day tomorrow.
January's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Just thinking, Groundhog Day. So.
And what are you doing tomorrow, Frank?
My arms are going to be tired. I'm flying to Florida. But, yeah.
Leaving us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, yes. One more reason why I love Frank so much. He does get to take these lovely little holidays, and then I have opportunities to bring in Frank Fillins.
Well, there you go. Frankie Fillins. Oh,
Frankie Fillins. So one of our favorite Frankie Fillins is Sean James, and he'll be joining us next week.
Do a super job.
Just so you know. And just while I'm thinking about it, because there's a lot of meetings coming up. So February the 10th, Monday, February 10th, the Agent Court Garden Club will be meeting at 8 o'clock to hear all about fascinating flora from coast to coast with guest speaker Maureen Hulbert. There's refreshments, there's desserts. This is all at the Knox United Christian Education Center, 2575 Midland at Shepherd in Toronto. And then just quickly, the following day, the Pickering Garden and Hort Society is meeting Tuesday, February 11th, 7:30 p.m. in the Pickering Recreation Center. It is now called the Chestnut Hills Recreation Center, but nevertheless, it is at 1867 Valley Farm Road in Pickering. In the O'Brien Rooms, Matthew Dressing will discuss cannabis, the history, cultivation, and harvesting. I should make sure my students know about this. I have some very keen cannabis growers in my classes at Durham College, and this is happening in Pickering. They might be interested. So for more information, PickeringHorticulturalSociety.com. and lots more happening, but we can save some of it for the future.
Okay, so we have to take our first little break. As a matter of fact, I see we've got a couple of callers lined up to join in on the conversation, including a first-time caller.
Asking about orchids.
Yeah, well, there you go. So we're going to put Terry to work very, very shortly here.
Perfect.
On the Garden Show, and you are listening, my friends, to Zoomer Radio AM 740 and in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie, and hello, Terry. Once again, we're here in studio, and our special guest is Terry Kennedy, who has, well, she's an expert with orchids, so.
She's actually, I think, an expert with a lot of things, your real love is orchids.
My passion.
And it's the hobby that went wild.
That's right.
And you ended up with your own business.
And actually, we had to move house because we had too many plants. Either that or take off the roof so we can just grow them in the house.
When you moved, was there a greenhouse already there? Or did you build?
Oh, we built it.
Yeah, you did.
What our criteria was, we wanted a little bit more property, and it had to have gas because we weren't going to continue heating with electricity or anything like that.
Yeah.
So we had natural gas, and they only had natural gas for the water heater at that, I guess. When this house was built, they could still do that, so that we had that. So then the first thing we actually took the plants up, and they were in the basement. We borrowed the high voltage lighting, and we lined the basement and put the plants down there. And when you opened the door, when everybody looked in there, was
blinding.
It said, "Oh my God!"
Beautiful.
So it was called the "Oh my God" room.
OMG! Well, here we are, Terry. We're cooking with gas. To our first caller,
truly.
We go. Helen from Toronto. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello, Charlie and Frank. I have two little cedar trees. Someone gave me. They're just sitting on my patio. Excuse me. And should I do anything with them? They're just in a little pot.
So are there two separate little pots, I assume?
Yes.
And when did somebody give them to you? How long ago?
Oh, maybe August.
Okay. And do you have a spot that you wanted to put them in the garden, or did you prefer them being above ground in pots?
Well, you know, either one. I'm just wondering if they should be planted. Not now, of course.
No. Well, it's too bad you didn't call me back in September. Because just so you know, little pots with little plants, little hardy plants like cedars, in little pots sitting above ground can suffer extremely in cold weather because they don't have much soil around the roots. So there's not a lot of insulation. And the freezing temperatures above ground are far more detrimental to plants than when the roots are below ground, when it's not as cold on the roots. So it is possible that they will not survive the winter. But assuming they do, you'll know in the spring, they'll either turn orange or stay green, one or the other. If they turn orange, they're compost. If they stay green, I would do one of two things. I'd find a spot in the garden that's, you know, well-drained, reasonably fertile soil, half sun, half shade. No, they're going to get big plants. Or two little cedar trees in two larger pots might make quite the nice statement on your patio. If you get some bigger, you know, attractive, might be costly, but nevertheless, big pots, get those cedars in, get some flowers around for the summer and enjoy them year round on the patio.
Okay. Thanks very much, Charlie. I just want to say my orchid died, so I'm going to keep listening.
All right. Great. And come to the show and get yourself a new one.
That's a good point. And don't beat yourself up, Helen. I have killed more orchids than anybody else. Trust me.
We're only
half a mile away, so it's so close.
There you go. Toronto Botanical Gardens next weekend, 11 to 5 both days.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Helen. Have a great weekend. Huh? Okay. Let Frankie reach for the bell. Here we go. First-time caller, Sarosa from Toronto. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to you guys.
So what's going on?
Yeah, I have one question about the orchid.
Yeah.
whenever I buy the orchids, after come like 1-2 days, the leaf gets yellow and then suddenly they die.
The leaves turn yellow?
Yes, little by little.
Little by little, yeah, okay. So I think Terry's going to want to ask you some questions, maybe give you some advice on how to keep them happy and healthy. But my first question would be, how often do you water?
Yeah, usually before, like I have 4-5 times, but usually I was putting like once a week. Mm-hmm. But now where I bought the new one, I put little water inside all the time. Oh, but although I am doing, but the leaves are getting yellow again.
All right. I love the sound of your birds in the background there. It sounds like you're in the tropics.
Well, yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's listen to what Terry has to say. I think we need a primer for both Helen and Sarosa and maybe some other listeners on brand new orchids. Somebody just gave it to me, or I just fell in love with it and bought it, brought it home. What are the criteria to maximize success with those orchids?
Okay. Usually the orchids, especially when they first arrive in the stores, are really healthy and they should last. The flowers should last for several months, and the plants themselves can live for a very long time. So when you bring them home, you have to take a look at what they're potted in. They may be very dry, they may be wet, but if they're in a moss-like medium, because none of the orchids are in soil. They're usually either in a bark mix or in a moss mix. If they're in a moss mix, they can easily be overwatered, because if you put just a little bit of water every day, you never actually get fresh air down around the roots. And you have to remember that orchids actually in nature live on trees, so they need air around their roots. So when you water, you want to water with lots of water and have it run, flow over the top of the pot, run through the bottom, so all the old air gets pushed out and new air is pulled in.
So maybe in the sink, the kitchen sink would be the place, really flush through.
Flush through, or use a pail and dip the whole thing and then make sure it drains. Always make sure it drains. Usually these orchids from the store, from the grocery store, come in a little ceramic pot.
Yeah, two pots, right?
There's two pots.
One inside, one outside.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you have to remember that when you have that ceramic pot, if you pour water in there, it's going to stay. And if that root ball stays wet all the time, it's going to rot. And that's why you're losing your leaves. In between, you want the medium to dry a little bit. Mm-hmm. So after watering, you want to make sure you pour off the extra water so that that's underneath the plant, unless it's sitting below where the pot goes. Having a little water underneath is fine, but you do not want the plant sitting in water.
Yeah, so humidity is good, but we do not want the plant sitting in a swamp, basically.
Yeah, they're not swamps. These are not bog plants.
No.
They're air plants.
They are plants, like you said, they live naturally in trees, so they get really well watered during a rainstorm and then really well drained in between.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to get at home.
Yeah, and so when you're doing it once a week with moss is probably okay. But in the wintertime, you know, there's not a lot of light and maybe a little bit cooler. You might not have to do it quite as often. The way to check to see if it needs water, well, you can touch the top, you know, if it's dry. But what happens is that it's not necessarily dry all the way down. So when you water, if you lift that pot, it's going to be quite heavy. Mm-hmm. If you lift it up a few days later and it's lighter. But when it gets really light, that's when you water again.
Right.
And then you know it's there.
And we learn that from experience, right? That's why people like you and me have killed lots of orchids over the years, because that's what we learned, is the right weight that the pot should be for when to water, when not to water.
Sort of a trial and error basis.
Yeah, experiential.
Yeah, we learn by doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Sarosa. I hope that helps.
Good luck with the orchid growing, Sarosa.
You have homework. Yeah, I expect to hear back from you in a month, and I want to hear how green those orchids are.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
As we wave bye-bye to Sarosa, let me remind you that it frees up another line here in Toronto to reach Charlie Dobbin and Terry Kennedy. Call 416-360-0740, and then anywhere in the province, toll-free 1-866-740-4740. We're going to go to St. Catharines very shortly, so hang tight here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie and Terry, let's head out to St. Catharines. Fausto is on the line. Good morning, Fausto.
Good morning, Charlie and Terry and Frank. It's Judy from St. Catharines.
Oh, Judy, okay.
Judy, how are you?
Okay.
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great. How are you?
How are your orchids? I'm calling in regards to my orchid, and I'm so sorry, but I don't know how to pronounce the name, but it starts with a P.
Phalaenopsis.
Right. I have
moth orchid.
Phalaenopsis orchid, where instead of flowers coming out on a stem, I have two leaves.
Oh, you have a kiki, a baby. You have a brand new plant.
Yes, I do. Now, what do I do with it?
Well, actually, you can leave it just there, and it'll flower right on the stem.
Oh, okay.
But then, on the other hand, you can actually does it have any roots yet?
It's starting to get roots. Like, it's basically, it started off with two leaves coming out, and then there's a little ball on the top of it, which I think is a root.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done anything with it, so I wasn't sure what to do.
Well, you can do, I would wait till the roots got a little longer, maybe a couple of inches in length.
Okay.
And then you can just cut the stem and, pot it up in a medium that suits you, and you have a brand new plant, and it'll be exactly the same as the one you already have.
Okay. Okay, so that's basically, now, is there a temperature I should be keeping them at?
If you're comfortable, they're comfortable.
Oh.
That's good.
That's easy, isn't it? And that's the main thing to remember. Orchids, these are tropical plants, but they really don't need the really high heat, because we're not comfortable under high heat. Neither are your plants.
Yeah. Right.
And just keep them out of, in a place where they don't get a draft.
Right.
When it gets really cold, you don't want them really close to a window, because right next to the window is very cold, and that can actually affect your plants.
Well, it's funny, because where it is right now, basically we have it sitting on a shelf, and it is right in front of the window, and it seems to be doing much better there than when we moved it from Niagara Falls, so I don't know.
Well, you've got the right window. You know, some windows are just perfect for plants, and orchids in particular. When you find a spot where your plant says, I'm happy
now, tell they're happy.
Then
leave them.
Leave it.
Don't touch me.
Yeah, that's right.
Turn it every now and then. But
yeah, every once in a while you could turn it, because otherwise it'll grow to over to one side.
And fall over.
And then fall over. But once the buds start coming, don't turn it, because then you want the buds to all line up in the same direction.
Well, thank you so much for all your help. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, have a great
Judy,
weekend.
If you can come to the Orchid Show in Toronto, highly recommended, because one of the things I got last time I was there was I had an orchid that needed to be repotted.
Right.
And you don't just go into any old pot. You want special pot. And you don't just use any old soilless mix or potting soil. You need a special media.
Yes.
So I was able to pick up all the things I needed to repot my orchid at the Orchid Show. So it's excellent for getting tools and supplies and expertise. Wonderful expertise.
Of course, but you're expert as it is, Charlie. I really don't need anybody else, really.
Thank you, Charlie.
Yes, Charlie's an expert.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye now. We appreciate the accolades for our sweetheart next door here. All right, Nancy in Hagersville. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That last lady actually had the same question as I did, but
wow,
I have an orchid that has four leaves on the top of the stem. Because it's grown on the old stem, and it has three, four roots, and I've got one long flower stem with six flowers on it.
Wow.
And another one on the other side. But the stems, they grow beneath the leaves.
But then it comes up underneath the leaves. Does it not sort of curl around and up?
Well, the way it is right now, it's kind of... It's still underneath it, but I haven't cut it off the stem or anything. But
so there's a little kiki we're talking about.
This is the
baby.
Kiki has a flower stem on it?
Yes.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, got two on it.
That's so cool.
There you go. Oh, so you, it's again, you can sort of ease them out from underneath the leaf, but be very careful because they're very, very brittle. Mm-hmm. And if you're like me, then you want to kick yourself because you broke it off. Mm. But
yeah, I've just left it for a while. I wasn't sure what I figure wait until they're done flowering to maybe try and pot it up.
Well, you can, although at this stage you can probably pot it up. They're starting to really grow because the days are getting longer and you're getting more light and that kind of thing. So you could pot it up now, or you could just wrap some moss around those roots, and that'll give that extra humidity moisture for the roots and help feed the roots, and let them flower and then pot them.
Yeah, prolong the flowering. Probably.
Because if you don't change things, the flowers will probably last longer. But by making sure you miss those roots or even put moss around them, as I said, just
little
wrap it around.
Tiny teaspoon of sphagnum moss is all you need, probably a tiny bit.
Well, no, actually, you would wrap around it so the roots are covered.
Yeah,
and then just with a little bit of old nylon or stocking, but just wrap it around the stem and the roots, and then let it flower. And after it's done, then you can just cut it off and pot it up with that moss and that a little bit more, and you've got another super plant.
Uh-huh.
Good.
What's the best? Is it good to use the chips, or do they actually need very much to be potted in?
Well, they do need something. Well, the reason that they need it, that in nature, they're not really potted on anything, right? They just grow on a tree and the roots are actually way out in the air. But you have to remember, in the tropics, the humidity is really high. So if you can keep the humidity really high, you don't have to pot it in anything. Mm-hmm. We just pot it up so that we can keep some humidity around the roots. Now, what is the plant the mother plant growing in?
It's growing in the wood chips. Yep.
Okay, so obviously you have learned how to grow in the wood chips, and that's what you should continue doing. So I would get some wood chips, the bark chips,
specifically
we call them.
Orchid bark.
Yeah, orchid bark, probably a sort of a medium, small to medium, or a mix with bark chips, and pot that new plant into that.
What happens if you keep the bag too long, and sometimes it looks like it's got kind of mold in it? Is that when you throw out the bag?
Well, the problem with what you could do is pour boiling water over it, and that'll kill the mold that's happening.
And then lay it out to dry.
And then lay it out to dry. Well, you don't have to, if you're going to use it, you don't have to dry it because you want to use it, but you don't wait till it cools down. Mm. we don't want to toast the roots.
boil the orchids.
But the thing is that if you have the bag for a while, if you're going to have the bark chips around for a while, I would make sure that they're very dry. Mm-hmm. You can keep them almost forever as long as they're really dry. Mold needs moisture to grow. So if you had kept the bark really dry, it wouldn't have the mold. Mm-hmm. But you can still kill it by pouring hot water over it.
That's a good idea. Rather than just tossing them and buying fresh stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
But I have one orchid that the root's kind of rotted.
Mm-hmm.
It got too wet in the pot.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
And the leaves are almost black, but there's one that's kind of green.
Mm-hmm. The middle one?
I tried to get rid of all the bad roots in the bottom. I don't know whether it would come back or not.
It might not, but sometimes you sort of have to look at it and think about how long it's going to take to come back.
Right.
And, we bury it very reverently and get another
on.
One to replace
it. And
not overwater it the next time.
Yep.
Good advice.
Super, Nancy. Thank you very much
for calling
in. Thank you.
And have a great weekend. Keep it tuned to AM 740, where we're broadcasting from, right in Liberty Village, as a matter of fact. We're going to go now to Bellwood and say hi to Sandra. Hi, Sandra. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Morning.
Yeah. Good morning. I love your show. I don't get to it all the time, but I just had a phone because I have an orchid in my bathroom window, and it has 8 and 9 blooms on it. I've had it for 2.5 years. It's beautiful.
Wow.
I love it. And every morning When I get up, I say, good morning, you're beautiful, I love you. And when I go to bed at night, I close the curtains, I say, good night, I'll see you in the morning, I love you, you're beautiful.
See how well it does with love. You need love for orchids.
Make sure it's drained. And that orchid loves me, I'm sure, and I love it. And I think if you talk to your plants, I do believe, yes, I don't know how to do all the other stuff, but I'll tell you, it is most beautiful. Everybody comes in, what are you doing? Yeah. I said, I'm loving it.
There you
exactly.
Go.
Now, exactly.
If couples picked up your habit there, there would be far less divorces going on.
Good point.
That's so true. My first one died. The second one, I thought, I better love this one better.
Well, obviously, you're doing something right. And I think that also when you, part of what talking to your plants is that to talk to them, you have to look at them instead of just ignoring them on a window or a shelf or whatever. But when you talk to them, you look at them and you see that if there's any issues, you can catch them right at the beginning. And that's one of the reasons that plants do so well when you talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know if you heard, but there was a thing on, I'm not sure, radio, TV, but anyway, and it said that they got a machine out or something that now they're learning. They're putting it on the plants, and the plants are responding. They're like humming or whatever. The plants talk to it or talk to you.
Oh yeah. Well, this isn't something new at all. There's a couple of books out about in the 60s where they actually had sort of microphones on the plants and they responded to different music differently and all that kind of thing.
That's what it was. There's
a couple of books out, but they're really Secret Life of Plants, and that's a really interesting read. Actually, it's been a while, but I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, but it does support the idea of sending good vibes, good love to your plants, and you will be returned
multi-times.
Yep.
There you go.
I agree. Like I told my first husband, anyway, doesn't matter. The second husband, I said, you know what? I am a woman. Don't just put me in the house and give me water. I'll die. I need love. Do you get it?
That's right.
If you don't love me, I'm out of here.
Good stuff.
Thanks for joining us, Sandra.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot. Okay. Orchids are beautiful. Yeah. I love them. I never did. I thought, who wants one of those things?
Yeah.
I don't like them.
And
but,
they can
oh
be intimidating.
God, they're beautiful.
Good they stuff. Are, and there's so many different ones. You have to come to the show see all
you're
the different
in Bellwood.
Ones.
You're not far away.
Yeah.
Come on down.
I'd be lying if I said I would, because I usually don't leave the farm. But we don't have animals. The only animal I have is my husband. But
it's a good excuse to get off the farm then.
Especially in February.
Thanks a lot, and I love you all.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Appreciate the giggle.
We a little bit of joviality there, huh? We're going to go international very shortly.
Cool.
Yeah, we're off to Buffalo in just a couple of moments to a first-time caller, so keep it where it is right now here on Zoomer Radio. It's The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All right, Charlie and Terry. Frank's reaching for the old bell here.
A little exercise.
Hey, that's good. That's for Mike in Buffalo. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a question regarding roses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a very, very old rose bush. It actually was my grandmother's. It's still planted in the yard probably more than 50 years now.
Okay.
She had all different varieties of roses, but this one in particular, it was kind of unusual. It was a pink rose, very, very fragrant. But it didn't look like a usual rose. The petals, it was like two or three times the number of petals in there. It almost looked like a little bit like a chrysanthemum or a carnation or something, you know, with that many petals.
Hmm.
And the stems, instead of the usual thorns, they had all these little needles running the full length of the stem. But it was definitely a rose. The leaves look like a rose, and it smells like a rose. I'm trying to find out what variety it is and what's the best way to transplant. I guess these would be the stringers off of it. The original bush died years ago. It was overrun with vines and everything, and it kind of killed it off.
Mm-hmm.
But the roots sent out underground stringers or whatever you want to call
them. Suckers.
And it started sending up new shoots, mm-hmm. and a few of them have been able to flower, and I've had leaves on them and so forth. And I'd like to be able to dig those up and transplant them to my yard. What type is this, and what would be the best way to transplant it?
In terms of the actual name of that rose, I wouldn't be able to help you with that right now. But there are people out there, they're called rosarians, and they are rose people. Buffalo Botanical Gardens is where I'd start. Take pictures of leaves, stems, blooms, so through the seasons. In terms of moving those, so this rose where there are still existing growing bits, that's where it was your grandmother's place. So who lives there now? Some family, I guess?
Well, nobody's there right now. As a matter of fact, we were going to be selling the house eventually, and that's why I live about a half an hour away out in Elba, New York, near West Seneca, East Aurora area. And I wanted to dig these up and transplant them to my house and replant them.
Okay, so your timing is good. Spring is the time to do that.
Okay.
What I would do is obviously scope out at your property where you're planning to put these. You need full sun, minimum 6 hours of direct sun every day, where you're going to plant these individual plants. You need a good soil. Organic material is very important, whether you've got a sandy soil or a clay soil. Make sure you're adding compost or composted manure. Make sure it's a fairly rich, well-drained soil in a bright, sunny location. So you've eyeballed these spots where these roses are going to get transplanted to. And what you would do is go out on a nice, it depends when spring arrives, right? Every spring is a bit different, but it might be March, it might be April, it might even be May if it's a late spring. Sharp shovel, you're going to go out there and you're going to sever those little plants that are coming up above ground. You're going to dig down, follow the stems down very carefully. There will be roots coming off the stem, and then that stem will continue off somewhere else underground. So with your sharp shovel, you're going to sever those roots, and you're going to have a plant. So you're going to have the above ground growth, that below ground bit that you have now severed away from the main plant, and there are little root hairs on that stem. I'd probably have pots with me, or at least bags with moist soil, and I would right away take those, what I've just dug up from underground, and make sure I've got the roots, you know, covered and protected with some moist soil. Could be bushel baskets, could be pails, could be anything, could be pots. And then transport, you know, do all your digging and then transport and get stuff in the ground sooner than later when you get home. So minimize the stress on the plants.
Okay. When I go to dig it up, figure if I were to go, say, like about a foot away, like a foot around, or maybe a foot, 2 feet around the little plant that's coming up, mm-hmm. should be sufficient?
Oh, yeah. 2 feet is probably more than you're going to be able to actually carry. The challenge whenever we're transport planting something is make sure the soil is moist. That's why spring is usually great. And when you do that lifting, you want to try and have it that the soil stays attached to the root ball that you're lifting up. So make sure it's something reasonable that you can lift yourself, and lift it in such a way that all that soil doesn't fall away from the root. That's the perfect world. It doesn't always work that way. It depends on what kind of soil you have. But if it's a bit of a clayey soil, it tends to stick better. And the moisture levels help with the stickiness as well. But yeah, depending on the height of the plant, like say the plant is a foot tall, then you're right. 18-inch root ball all the way around, yeah. And depth might be as much as a foot to 18 inches deep as well. And
You described it pretty well. They are, say, 6 inches to a foot tall, mm-hmm. and the soil in that area is a little bit compacted. It's
got some
clay content in there, but it is a very moist area of the yard, so moisture is not a problem there. Mm-hmm.
Good. And where you're going, you don't want them to be in a boggy situation. Roses do not want to be constantly wet. They'd rather be on the dry side than the wet side. So make sure full sun, well-drained soil, no bogginess.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I've got a perfect area. It does get full sun, and it's like a little bit of a high spot in the yard.
Nice.
And I think they'd probably do well there.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect.
We have to kind of move along. Sorry, folks. We're bumping up to our next break. Mike,
thanks for calling, Mike.
Thank you very much. Don't be a stranger, Mike.
I love stories like
You're always welcome here. That sounds like an intriguing rose, too, with so many petals
interesting,
to it.
Yeah.
We'll be talking to Bill in Pickering in just moments here after you hear a few fine words from our fine sponsors. flowers here on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stalks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Terry and Charlie, let's go to Pickering. Here's Bill on the line. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you all?
Great.
Good morning. Good morning.
Thank you. Thanks for all the great advice.
Thanks. You're welcome.
I'm calling about geraniums this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I usually, in September, bring in about 20 to 30 mother pots, the mother plants I call them, pot mm-hmm. them up and mm-hmm. keep them going over the winter through on lights and all that,
mm-hmm.
and take lots of cuttings for the next season.
Nice.
But this September, I'm going to be unavailable for October, November, and December. So I'd like to pot them up and bring them in. And I'd like to know what would be the best way of doing this and getting them through and taking lots of cuttings. And that's what I'm after.
But if you're not there for 3 months, who's going to look after them while they're in pots growing for those 3 months?
I would like to dry store them.
Right.
Or maybe I shouldn't pot them up. Maybe I should just dry them bare root. I'm not sure.
Have you got a root cellar or a cool wine cellar?
I have a dry basement. It's yes, I have a cold room, but I don't think I have enough space in it.
Mm-hmm.
How about the regular basement?
Heated.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to keep them alive in a heated situation. Because for people that are listening, what the geraniums are one of those plants that sometimes we love them and we have such good success with them, we want to keep them because they are expensive mm-hmm. to buy every spring. So keep bringing them in the fall, bringing in a few in the fall, is an excellent way to propagate, as you've mentioned, taking cuttings. And I think Terry's going to jump in because she's doing the same thing the following spring and avoid having to spend hundreds of dollars of buying them all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always done the keep it in a pot, treat it like a house plant, sunny window all winter, water as required, enjoy flowers all winter, and then start taking cuttings in the spring because all that new growth starts to pop up and we can make, you know, 10, 20, whatever number of plants off that mother plant to yeah. go out in June or May. However, the idea of the dry storage, the take it out of the ground, take the soil away from the roots. Sometimes people put it in a paper bag. Sometimes they just hang them upside down in a basement. But that would be a cool, dark, pretty humid basement in order for that to work, because that's how they used to overwinter geraniums.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when the floor of the basement was soil and the onions and potatoes and everything was stored down there, it was a root cellar.
Yes.
And now with our finished basements and our heated, dry and everything else, I don't think you'd have great success. It might be worth a try. Terry was saying she's got some both in pots and in bags this winter.
Yes, and actually a friend of mine did the in bags things and she put them in paper bags. And some of them she hung up upside down and some right side up.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that were right side up did not survive.
Yeah, they have to go upside down.
They have to go up upside down. And if you've got a root cellar, then once you take them out of the pots, they really don't take up much room.
Mm-hmm.
And they may at least half of them would fit into your root cellar.
Mm-hmm. It's a thought.
It's a cold under the front porch root cellar.
That's what I have.
Separated from the house, but it's not very moist.
Well, just because of that cool temperature, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want a lot of humidity in there. You'd get a lot of water running down the sides. The main thing is along, it's got to be above zero.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, you know what? That's what I would do. If you're not around for 3 months, I would, as Terry said, dig up as many as you can. Once you've dug them up, wash all that soil off the roots, and they're still quite pliable. We're talking September, roughly, when you'd be doing all this.
Yes, yes.
And they'd still be quite pliable, so you could do a certain amount of, you know, compaction of the plant. Put one each in each bag. I wouldn't try and jam more than one into each bag, and figure out a way to hang them up however you need to. Just run them in there, bags against bags. And I think you might find you could have a fair amount of survival, and you would be taking cuttings from those the following February, March, basically.
Now, should I cut them back before I hang them?
You can cut flowers off. Cut flowers off is a good idea, but I wouldn't necessarily, or if they're really awkward shape, I would cut them to make them more of a uniform shape, but otherwise I wouldn't do a lot of cutting back.
Okay, powder them or insect spray, etc.?
No, I don't think so. Make sure they're clean and dry.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay, Bill,
soap
good luck
and
with
water.
That.
Thanks. Let us know how that works. That's cool. I like it.
Just before we take our next caller, I know that Terry wants to tell a little bit of special stuff going on at the Orchid Show having to do with
weekend.
Kids.
Yeah, next weekend, Toronto Botanical Gardens. What's going on that's a little different this year from other shows?
Well, if you notice, if you go to a garden club or you look at the gardeners, they're getting a little silvery on top.
I've noticed that.
What the Orchid Society is trying to do at present is to encourage young people to grow orchids or just to grow plants. And I think, and they can get very interested. So what we've done this year on Sunday from 11 to 4, there is a special, kids' corner that we're having. Mm-hmm. And there the kids will learn about orchids. There's orchid stamps. They'll be looking for orchids. They're going to make cards for Valentine's.
Nice.
And there's also an opportunity to get orchid henna tracings.
Oh, neat.
And also the other thing we'll have is orchid washable tattoos, temporary tattoos.
That's great.
And they're all colored, and this is all free to the kids.
Yeah,
so
beautiful.
We encourage people to bring their kids, have them learn a little bit about orchids, and the mom and dad can then enjoy the show and buy plants and learn about plants and all that kind of
now,
stuff.
Now, it does say very clearly right here on the flyer, supervised children under 12 are free. So children are, there's no cost for them to get in the door, but supervising them is important. This is not a babysitting service
that's
being provided.
Yeah, that's right.
This is an activity, but supervision from parents is required. And it's always been like, you walk in the door and there's the big exhibits and the beautiful views and aromas and everything else on the main floor. And then upstairs, there's some vendors selling stuff and some speakers upstairs, and then downstairs, vendors.
The floral hall. That's all vendors. And
where are the kids going to be in all that?
The kids' room. You know, when you come in on the left hand side.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So the tables are all perfect there. They're
already children's
sized. And so we have a mother that is keen on getting her kids involved, and she's done a great job of organizing these activities, and would really like to see a bunch of kids really enjoy these.
Smart, really smart. Yeah. I think that that's one of our jobs is to encourage and really enthuse
the
new ones, the next generation. We don't have time for another caller, my friend.
I'm sorry, we're
out of time.
Fresh out of time.
I'm so sorry. So we've got Nick and Norbert still on the phone next week. Call early, call often.
Absolutely.
And Sean will be here with me. Frank will be
in sunny Florida
with a margarita in his hand and just hanging out in the sun. Terry,
it won't be in my hand long.
Yes, thank you so much.
And I'll be at the Orchid Show.
You'll be at the show.
I'm looking forward to seeing all of you at the Orchid Show.
Perfect. Planning to be there if we possibly can. Thanks again for coming. Thanks, Carlos, Duncan. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.